Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our sponsors, WS Forum and Beaver Builder. If you're interested in joining WP Coffee Talk as a guest or a sponsor, please visit our site at wpcoffeetalk.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. I'm Michelle Frechette, your podcast barista, serving up the WordPress stories from around the globe. And today, I don't know where in the globe my guest is because he lives in a mobile home, and as in on the road all the time. So today with me here is Alex Standiford, who is a plugin developer at alexstandiford.com, which is actually a brilliant domain name, because nobody else really can take your own name, which is kind of cool. I say that, but there are other people who have owned my domain name in the past who luckily gave it up, so now it's mine again. Anyway, welcome to Alex. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I will say it is the domain name thing is one of the only times where I am glad to have a name that is spelled weird, because my username is always available wherever I go. And please, if you're listening to this, don't like immediately turn around and go to every service and troll me by taking my name. But
I know exactly right.
But generally speaking, I'm pretty safe whenever it comes to that. And I'm always like, whenever I'm on the phone with support or something like that, and I have to spell my name, and they always forget the I and all this stuff, I'm always like, man, I wish I had an easy name to spell. And then I remember in moments like that where, oh wait, I actually just can have my name online.
It's not a bad thing. Nice. When I was married and my last name was Ames, which, if you know me, it's still my Twitter handle because it's linked to a million different websites at this point. So it stays. But I used to be like Frechette. It's such a hard name. Nobody ever spells it right. They always think it's French and they put Frenchette. It is French, but they put Frenchette, or they think it's Italian and it's like Fricchetti, like one of my college professors. I was like, who's this Fricchetti person he's talking about? But so when I got married, I was like, I get to be Ames. And then I'm like, well, I don't really want to be Ames anymore. But now I'm kind of stuck with it in some places. So yeah, my thing is I'll just never be happy, apparently. So we know that you're a plugin developer, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what that means to be a plugin developer. What do you do?
Well, for the most part, I just build stuff for people. So I know that sounds simple, but usually, say an agency or a person comes to me and they'll say, hey, I've got this website, WordPress website I built. It's really great. I love it. But there's this one specific problem that I have with my site that isn't so great. And I wish it was easier to use. And then they come to me and they ask. Usually it comes to me in the form of like an agency will come to me and they'll be like, hey, we're building this really big site for this client. And we can do like 90% of it, but they're like 95% of it, but there's just this one quote unquote small thing that's actually like a really big, tough, complicated piece of the puzzle that they either don't have the bandwidth to solve themselves, or don't have somebody on their team who is comfortable with being able to solve that problem. So usually that's where I come in. So usually I'll come in at that point and I'll kind of almost serve like a boost for the team to be able to like take this one problem and just solve that problem. Usually it's with integrations and things like that. So say you've got a sales team and you're trying to integrate some kind of customer management system like Salesforce or something like that, and you wanted to integrate it directly into WordPress or whatever, I do things like that. Something I did not too long ago was I did work for a news company. And they needed a way to be able to automatically curate. They had this third-party platform that they were using to curate news content, and they wanted to be able to bring that content into their site and display it on their site and like organize it and all this stuff. So I built, so the rest of the agency, they actually did the website part of that, the display side of it. And I did the backend side that actually ingested that stuff from the API, made it efficient and quick to be able to be reused, and things like that. So that's pretty much, what I do. I connect outside things into WordPress.
That's pretty cool. I, years ago, pre-pandemic, or as my daughter calls it, BC, which is before COVID, not like before the common era or whatever. I taught a class in Rochester on like a, just a basic introduction to WordPress. And like all these people, like one woman's there, she wants to blog. Another guy owns a taxi service. He wants to have his taxi service online. You know, basically the brochure sites are blogging. And then there's this guy at the end of the like the five people that I'm teaching who is not computer savvy. He's in his 60s at the time. And I'm not, I mean, I'm 55, so I'm not like dissing that, right? But like he's not computer savvy at all. He's like, you know, couldn't figure out how to turn it on kind of thing. It took 2 hours for him to set up his WordPress.org username and understand how that worked and find his email and all of that. But he wanted to build the next Airbnb.com. And I was like, well, first, let's figure out how to log into WordPress. And then I will tell you that that will not be an easy nail to hit with the WordPress hammer. If you're willing to spend money, you can probably find somebody to help make that dream come true. But yeah, so I understand not being able to have the tools at your command that you then have to ask other people to help with. So it's good that people like you are out there in the community who can help us get over the goal, for example, and keep moving forward. So thanks for
Yeah.
doing the stuff you do.
Heck yeah. My pleasure.
Before I get to the next question, which is asking you about your mug, I see you're like poised, ready to show it to me. Where are you located today? Because you are mobile. You take your family and your, I think you have animal. I think I saw a cat in the background, right?
Yeah, we've got two cats, a dog, and a dog, as well as two kids.
Yeah, so that's a lot of people shoved into one little space, but you can go anywhere you
Yes.
want, which is cool. So where are you right now?
Right now we are in Vermont, right on the
Oh, cool.
coast, right on the edge, right along Lake Champlain, between Vermont and New York. So we look out the window, we could see Lake Champlain and the Adirondack Mountains on the other side. And we basically have been here for most of the summer, actually. We kind of been just hanging up in New England last year, and we did it again this year. We were actually looking at perhaps buying some land up here, but the market's still just a little too much for us right now, so we decided to wait a little longer. We spent some time up in we've spent more time in Canada this year than we've ever spent. So we went up to like Grismore National Park up in
Oh, nice.
Newfoundland and stuff like that. I'm itching to go back out west. It's been 2 years since we've gone that way, and we're like three-fourths of the way through this year, and I'm like I'm ready to go to the southwest or the high
Well,
desert and all
it's
that.
either soon or after winter because where you are located right now, you're north of the Tug Plateau, so you're gonna get slammed.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere out west until next year. So we're
Yeah.
basically we'll leave here in about a month after. We'll get to see the leaves, some of it at
Yeah.
the start of the season and stuff, and then we're gonna nope out of here before it gets too cold. We're fair weather Vermonters, we say.
And are you coming to WordCamp Rochester? I can't remember.
I don't when is it again? It's
September 30th.
Oh, maybe that's right on the line of when I leave though, so I might I'm so close to there though, like I
I
should.
know.
And that's the one. You do you are
I
you
am
close to there?
the
You must be close to there, judging by you.
I'm the lead organizer.
Oh, so you know a thing or two about it. Oh, okay.
This is your personal invitation.
Yeah, right. Okay. I am adding a note to make sure
We'll
to check
chat
and see.
afterwards.
We'll
I'll
talk
remind you.
later.
So tell us about you. I see foam. I'm like jealous. I've used a
Oh
Keurig, but
yes.
it looks like you have good stuff. So tell us about your mug and what you're drinking.
I am drinking a cup of my wife's coffee, which I am convinced is the best coffee in the world, and I am so lucky to have it. So it is she uses a well again, we travel, so there are some challenges that kind of came from that from a coffee drinking standpoint. Before this we were using, I think, a French press and or in a Keurig as well, and it a Keurig isn't practical in a camper because it'll blow your breaker most of the time because of the heat. And then a coffee pot, a traditional coffee pot, or even a French press, they both have one big problem, and that's they're made out of glass. And when you're driving, if you if that it, it's just gonna break. Eventually it's gonna fall out. You're gonna open the cabinet door and everything's gonna be disheveled from driving, and it's gonna fall and shatter. And so we had to have something that allowed us to make good coffee, be small and relatively portable and also be something that wouldn't break when we're traveling. And that ended up being the hang on, what's it called again, Kate? An AeroPress. That's it. I got
Oh
it for that. Yeah, the AeroPress.
yeah.
So we do the AeroPress thing,
Nice.
and my wife's got a milk frother. Well, she had like a stick one, but then we've bougied it up. So we've got the cup with that does the melt and stuff. And yeah, she makes just
Nice.
fresh ground beans, some brown sugar, and just a healthy dose of milk froth on top.
So
And
when I do see you at
yeah.
WordCamp Rochester, will your wife make me coffee too?
She could be convinced to do so, I'm sure.
Through my offer now, or my order now, I should say. That's
Right,
awesome.
that's right. The mug, on the other hand, is kind of a luxury for us lately because we prior to this year, we had one camper, and we now have three campers, and because we use two of them as bigger, more comfortable places in Texas and Vermont. So we kind of travel between those two spots. And then the small camper we use to kind of get around, and we'll like take crazy routes. So like instead of just driving straight from Texas to Vermont, maybe we'll go to like Montana first or something. You know what I mean? So, but before when we had just one camper, we didn't have room for nice, fun things like fun coffee mugs or stuff like that. So now that we've got these other campers, it's like we went into our storage shed where we had all our stuff from our house, and we had these like really fun seasonal mugs that we always that was a big thing for us when we were in the house, is we would like the signal that the season was changing was the coffee mugs would change. So I've got my
So you get your
fall
fall
we got our
mug.
fall got our fall mug, and my Uggs will be here on Wednesday, so I'm looking
Oh,
forward to that.
very perfect. Warm feet, warm coffee,
Yeah.
everything's happy. Well, let me share mine. So
Yes, please.
I did use a Keurig. I do a lot, I do French press sometimes. I do a lot of pour over coffee. I just have a Melitta filter type thing and whatever, and it goes into a what do you call it? Insulated, so that I can have it. You know, if I make more coffee, I've got it for a while. But when I'm in my office, and especially if my legs aren't working like they're supposed to, right next to my desk, I've got a Keurig set up right here, so I can make coffee. I've got a little fridge over there with my creamer. So today I'm having just regular coffee with caramel macchiato creamer in my personalized GoWP mug, where
I love it.
the Preston logo is just like Wonder Woman. They made that for me, which
That's
I thought was
great.
pretty darn cool. So yeah, so I was like, oh,
That's
could you?
awesome.
It is like one of a kind, truly one of a kind mug today. So,
That's
that's what I've got on.
awesome.
So, isn't that fun? So, tell us. The thing is, I ask the questions that you talk all the time, so your coffee's going to be cold by the end. So, sip whatever you need to. But tell us how you got started with WordPress.
It kind of started from so I was always interested in computers in general. I was in high school, junior high. I was taking every computer class I was allowed to take, I could take. Every elective I had was with the same teacher because it was just the same. And actually, if you go to my site right now on desktop, there's a little clock button in the corner, and it'll transform my site to look like the web design I did for the web design team whenever I was in high school. And it's like super gaudy and kind of awful. And my profile picture actually turns into a photo of me as a sophomore. And anyway, it's a lot of fun. You
Oh,
should
I
check it
am
out.
so doing that right after the show. Yes.
But so the I actually became a mechanical engineer instead of programming because I went to a vocational school, and I was walking through all the stuff. They didn't really have a proper programming class at the time, and there was a room that had animated dragons, and I really liked dragons, so I took that and ended up becoming a mechanical engineer, which is still very computer technical for sure. There's a lot of 3D modeling, a lot of complexity there. But 10 years into it, I had my first kid, Bennett, and I was sad that I didn't get to see him as much. I would come home and he'd be asleep, and I'd wake up and he'd be asleep, and I'd go to work, and I just found myself just suddenly realizing that I just hated the office, hated it. Like I burn fast, I burn hard. I don't work 8 hours. I've never worked 8 hours. Even whenever I sat down in the office and was told to work for 8 hours, I would do 8 hours worth of work in, 4 to 6 hours. And sometimes faster than that, you know what I mean? Like but I would be done. Like after that, that's it. There's just nothing more in the tank, and I would be sitting there by 1 o'clock every day in the office, just staring. Like, And I just remember just like waiting until 5 o'clock. And I was like, God, I'm wasting like half of my waking hours just sitting here waiting to be allowed to get up and leave. And I was like, this is bull crap. You know, I can't take this anymore. So I quit, which probably wasn't the best way to do it. I mean, I should have probably been a little more responsible and taken more time to be able to transition. I did not. I let this problem fester too long and it reached a breaking point, and I did a thing that caused me and my family a lot of strife and a lot of struggle for years to come as a result, which I'm not super proud of. But as a result of that, though, I went headlong into learning programming, because I had already kind of taken some stuff and I kind of had an idea that I would like to do that. And it kind of took me right into WordPress, because I was already learning about WordPress because I was doing a blog for teaching people how to use the photo editor GIMP. And I was just kind of like it kind of just these pieces were there, right? So I had this blog that I was running. I wanted to work remotely, and I already had some prior knowledge of web development, web design. And I knew I liked it. And then, so you take all those pieces, and then you realize I just didn't have the technical skill to become a developer yet, because I didn't know PHP, JavaScript, HTML, CSS. I knew none of this. I knew HTML, CSS, but it was like really old, you know, center tags still existed. You know what I mean? So, I went through all of that, and I took some courses and just kind of really, I mean, I just put all of myself into that. In like 2013, 20, well, I guess it was probably 2014, 2015. And I never really looked back. I just obsessively demanded that every job I had was a remote job. And I was work nobody was hiring me at the time, so I just started freelancing. And you know, after several years of grinding and taking bad clients and taking slightly better clients and learning and making mistakes and, you know, all of that stuff, the grind that is starting a new career, I finally started reliably finding good work. I've started reliably finding good employment. I currently work at GoDaddy as well. So, you know, I haven't really mentioned that yet, but like that's, I take like a client, you know, like a very small amount of stuff. But then my main squeeze right now is GoDaddy. So, and you know, I'm really glad I did it now. But honestly, 10 years ago, I wasn't feeling super great about it. But you know, I don't regret it for sure. I'm glad to be home. I'm glad to be with my kids. And then I cut off all of their square footage, so they had no choice to be around me now. Problem solved.
It's like, guess what? You get to see me all
That's right.
the
And you don't get a bedroom anymore, you know?
time. Yeah. Have fun sleeping in that bunk. But it sounds like your family actually enjoys the togetherness and the travel, and you're offering your kids especially something that a lot of people don't have, which is the ability to see lots of places and live in different environments, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
I do too, yeah.
I often wonder if if they'll reflect on this ever and be really glad about it. Sometimes Bennett, my youngest, he or my oldest, sorry, he varies. Like our first year when we were in the mountains, he's like, yeah, it's another mountain. It's just a rock. Why are y'all excited about it? And I'm like, you don't understand, man. I lived in Ohio like my whole life. I never saw a mountain. Yeah, it was exactly. I didn't see mountains, you know? And
Yeah.
so, but anyway,
That's awesome.
it's funny.
I love it. Well, as you think over excuse me, websites that you've built or other people have built, what do you think that is something that we as web builders don't focus enough attention on that would make websites better, specifically for the end user, but maybe for, the site owners as well?
So I think the obvious answer here is accessibility. It's always accessibility. And you know, something really struck me the other day whenever I was talking. I was on social a few years ago, and this is what really clicked with me on this topic specifically, because a couple years ago I would have probably said technical debt or something like that. But now it's got to be accessibility, because they said, you know, you're not building something for other people, you're building something for your future self. And I think whenever I heard that, it really clicked with me, because I have a history of pretty bad vision. I actually just got LASIK earlier this year, and while it was life altering and amazing, it was like, I mean, if I didn't have access to the glasses or the healthcare to be able to change my eyes, like, or it couldn't have been done, I mean, I would have a very different opinion of the web right now than I do right now. And it just kind of really resonated with me. And it's rarely a conversation that falls into the forefront of intent and design. It's usually kind of, even now, it's usually just kind of an afterthought. Now, granted, it's doing a lot better. I think it's a lot better now than it was, say, 5 years ago, even.
Sure, absolutely.
But I'm really grateful to see that these conversations are really being hammered home. But yeah, it's still just a it's kind of like an ingrained piece of the conversation, and it's not necessarily like, hey, we need to make sure this is accessible up front. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how to phrase this, but
No, I get it. And when you talk about future self, it's like what 15 years ago, before when I was working in higher education, I was not at a screen all day, right? I was talking to students, I was making phone calls, I was doing all these other things and a ton of meetings. And then in 2013, I started to freelance instead. I left higher ed, I started my own little freelance gig, and I was in front of my computer 10, 12 hours a day to try to get a business growing. And I worked in higher ed. I didn't wear glasses. Now I wear bifocals and I have computer glasses and all these things. And if I try to look at my phone or my screen or watch television, any of those things without glasses on, then I may as well be blind because I can't read anything. I can't, can't take in all the information. And
yeah.
so, yeah, that future self is already here for me. So I
Right.
get that, right?
Yeah.
And those of us who spend so much time in front of screens, we are affecting our eyesight, so it literally is our future self, which
Yeah, right.
I like the way you said that.
It's funny, because my vision right now is better than it was when I had glasses. And I can tell now, because when I look at my site, I'm like, God, my text is big. Like on my own design. And I'm not changing it. I'm good, because it's like that's a perspective I didn't have before. But it's just funny.
It is funny. My daughter looks at my phone and she's like, "What are you blind?" And I'm like, "Yes, that is the
Yes.
point. It goes up to big. You can make the fonts bigger for people like me. Yes, exactly. And you shall be there too someday, child." So
I'm convinced monitors are getting bigger, not because they can, but because we actually need them to be, because we need the real estate, because the font needs to be bigger and it takes up more space on the screen. So
I don't disagree. I think that absolutely makes sense. Well, let me ask you, what's something that you wish you'd known earlier in your WordPress journey, that you've learned since, of course, that would have made life so much better earlier on?
that I could have started this 10 years sooner. Honestly, that's because, I think about this a lot, actually, is like what my career, because I'm very happy. Like I have a great career. I love what I do. I love where I'm at professionally in my life, and pretty much I'm very happy, don't get me wrong. But I find myself often thinking about those years spent in that office and like doing that stuff. And like, if I knew then what I knew whenever I started this career, I could have just skipped that. You know what I mean? And I could have had all those years, those 10 years of being in office and doing that stuff. I could have done that in WordPress 10 years sooner. And I mean, who knows what that would have done? I would have been in a different market. I would have been the plugin competition would have been different. Things weren't even created yet,
Right, yeah.
and it would have been really cool to have been there in those formative years. So yeah, that's it for me, honestly.
I understand that. I also want to remind you that the journey is part of the whole adventure. So,
That's it.
you are where you
I
are
got the journey.
because of what your past has been. So, but I
It's true.
understand that. Like it, knowing that what we know though is like, would you make changes? Well, yeah, sometimes we would. So, I totally get
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. If I could have just done that sooner, maybe I wouldn't have had the
Absolutely.
context that I have now, and maybe that's important. You know what I mean? Who knows? There's probably
Yeah, for
pieces
sure.
that I learned from those 10 years that I would have missed out on, and
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
Yeah.
if I could, I would have probably just skipped it.
Yeah, I understand that. More time at home with the kids, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some of your favorite WordCamp or meetup talks or experiences? Maybe something that was kind of like a pivotal or inspirational moment for you, either as a speaker or an audience member.
So a few years ago, I'm trying to, I think it was a WordCamp Kent. Kyle Maurer did a keynote that was really, really good. He talked about how, and he's just, I mean, he isn't so much in the space these days, but he is so, he knows how to do a talk. I don't know how else to say. He's very animated. He plays it up, and he's really good. And
He's really good at it. Yeah.
he's super good at it. So he did this talk about the WordPress community and the significance of it as, and like how, what's going to happen if WordPress someday doesn't exist, and maybe WordPress is replaced by something else or whatever. And the general gist of it was like, I'm good because, the software isn't WordPress, it's the community, and I would just go wherever the community goes, and like I'd be fine. And I am like generalizing this and making it sound way lamer than it, or not lame, but like way less interesting is what I should say, than it is. It's a really good one. I'll have to find the link and send it to you so that you can add it to
Yeah.
this, but it's really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like him a lot. He's such a great guy. He was the first podcast I was ever on was his podcast. So special place in my heart for him, so for sure.
I did one with him too, really early in my career. And whenever I watch the video, I'm like, God, gosh, the last 10 years have taken a toll. I mean, you can see the wrinkles, and I'm like, yeah, well, that was bright eye and bushy tail. I was getting started there.
Same, same. I was like, and I was like, I only had a laptop and it sat on my desk, and I had so I like stacked up books to make sure it was high enough that the camera caught me right, and like I locked the doors to the office so nobody'd walk in. Like I was so terrified that the internet was gonna go down. Like I look back on that now, I was like, oh, I was so like worried for nothing. And of course, this was pre-pandemic, right? Like we weren't Zoom aficionados or anything back then, but yeah,
That is
anyway.
so funny. It's so funny you said the books, because I did the exact same thing for that interview. I had books stacked, and then I actually took two lamps from the living room and put them on either side behind my laptop to try to create a good light. It's just so funny. Like, compare that now to this. It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I put some care into it, but it's like, I opened the window, I opened Paint on the left side of my monitor so that it puts a floodlight on me and called it
MS
a day.
Paint.
That's like the best use for it. Because like, if you need to change the light color, you just use the
Yeah.
bucket bill to change it, and you can change the light to whatever you
Oh my
want.
gosh. That is such a good tip. We're gonna make sure that we highlight that in the show notes for sure. I built my first logo in MS Paint.
Oh, that's awesome.
Couldn't scale it or anything else, but it was cute. I'm
That's
not gonna
awesome.
lie, it was cute. I probably stole a font from somewhere on the web that I liked. I don't know. That we'll talk about that later. Anyway. So I didn't know you were working for GoDaddy. That's cool. And then also doing your own thing. So what's something, this is the little section in where it's like, talk about you and what you do and what is something that you've worked on recently that you're excited about or something you're looking forward to. So here's your chance. Tell us about
Here's
it.
my shoot my shot. Okay. The field it's got to be the Fields API. That's been in WordPress core. So Scott Kingsley Clark, and he's been working on this idea of a Fields API in WordPress, which the general promise or the hope is that we can create something that allows agencies to be able to easily add fields to be able to manipulate data inside of WordPress quicker and easier with less code. It's if you've ever used ACF or something like that, which I'm sure you have if you're in WordPress, it's pretty much pre-installed on on a lot of agencies for a while. I don't know if it still is, but the hope is that we could create something that has that kind of experience, perhaps without the interface, but to be able to make it easy to be able to add those fields in the kind of like ACF does inside a core, directly and natively. It's and the for me the big reason why I'm interested in it personally is isn't so much because I want to be able to make that stuff easier. I mean, I do, don't get me wrong. Like
Sure.
if you've ever tried to create a custom settings page in WordPress, you know that it's there be dragons, as one of my fellow workers have said. But it it's for me it's mostly because they're talking about this new admin UI in WordPress core. And I feel like it's kind of a great opportunity to be able to add this, because if we add this Fields API now, we can potentially use that as a stepping stone to help the new UI in WordPress and the existing UI. So we can set it up to serve as almost like a bridge between the two, because we could set it up to
Yeah.
where like both of them are talking to the same API. And if you need, you can be able to have interoperability between the two of them, and you can switch between them over time. And looking at how difficult the path has been for the block editor to be able to be integrated into WordPress, I think the idea of having some kind of layer that kind of makes that transition easier is a big reason why the block editor struggled so much for so long. And I'd hate to see that happen to the admin UI, because all of this leads to the thing that I really actually care about, which is the mobile experience for WordPress. The WordPress app itself is good if you need a blog, right? If you need to use WordPress, literally just like a vanilla installation of WordPress, it's really great. But literally nobody is using a vanilla install of WordPress.
No.
So you can't extend it, you can't customize it, and you can't change it in any way, shape, or form. And because of that, I honestly feel that the WordPress app is a lot of the reason, the lack of that mobile experience is a lot of the reason why social media, such as Twitter and things like that, kind of took over instead of traditional blogging. So traditional blogging obviously is still very much a thing, but like the idea of microblogging can absolutely exist inside of a WordPress site. If you go to my site right now, you'll see exactly what I mean, right? My content is published through my site, including all of my micro content, all of my social posts and things like that. And then it distributes out on social media, right? And to me, it should be that way. I mean, but the reason why it isn't, I think, honestly, is the mobile experience. It's simply that. I mean, the ability to automatically publish on other platforms and stuff like that, yes, that's a factor and all of that plays into it. But at the end of the day, the reason why quite literally the people who built WordPress and believe in social media, believe it or not, sorry, believe in the open web and believe in all of these things, opted to use a content platform such as Twitter instead of WordPress is literally because the mobile experience of WordPress couldn't keep up with what the actual core needs. So to me, the thing I'm excited about with this new UI is that hopefully there's a future where they'll build this in such a way that it will actually work as the WordPress app as well. So maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to actually customize and extend the app. And then all of a sudden you can create a plugin that turns your WordPress site into like a Twitter-like experience, or be able to publish things through your app in ways that we can't even imagine right now, right?
Wow, yeah.
And all of that to me comes back to the Fields API. At the end of the day, it all comes back to that, because in order to have the ability to easily customize something inside of a WordPress app in two different admin UIs in one single place, you need a single place to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're going to double and triple the number of places where things need to get updated, and nobody's ever going to do it. So that's what I'm really excited about. So I've been contributing to that, adding my thoughts and my opinions on how we can make that work. And I honestly think that those three things are kind of the most, for me, I think those are the most important things to the future of WordPress in general. Yeah.
I love that your son in the background is excited about whatever he's excited about.
Oh
And
yeah.
it makes it sound like he is totally hyping you up. Like you're like so
He's
excited.
yeah, he's totally my hype man. Yeah, totally. I think he's probably just, oh yeah, he's playing Minecraft. He's
There you
building
go.
bridges.
I love it. And so are you. So let
That's true.
That's awesome. He's the best. That's, I
Oh, yeah.
love it. We move into our rapid fire questions. As I always say, I'll ask them rapidly. You take the time that you need to answer them.
Okay.
But what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is usually just some kind of forms plugin. I mean, it's kind of the bread and butter. I'm a little surprised that we don't have a forms block, to be honest, but that's okay. The Gravity Forms is great. All of them are good, really. Ninja Forms. There was a new one that just came out. I wish I remember what Omniform, I think it's called. It looks really promising. I haven't actually used it yet, but the one thing it does that I love, that really excites me, is that it allows you to build the form inside of the context of the page you're building it. So, you know, with
Oh,
like Gravity
cool.
Forms and Ninja Forms, you have to like go over to a separate screen and there's this dedicated form builder. And this one, like, you're building a page and you're like, oh crap, I need a contact form. So you click on the form block and then you build the form and then you click save, and it automatically saves it as a, I assume, I don't know this, but I'm
Oh,
assuming
that's
it
cool.
automatically saves it as a form, right, that you can reuse in
Right.
multiple places. But you just built it right there. I think that's, I mean, why not? That's
Yeah.
really cool.
Can we agree that form builders or forms that don't save the inputs in the database, but instead only send them to email, those ones need to go at the bottom of the list?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. For sure.
Anyway, keep going. So what are the other ones that you were going to recommend?
I find myself using the GraphQL plugin a lot. I obviously this isn't like, I don't know, maybe not for everybody, but for me, I built my site using So my site,
But okay, kind of like threw me.
yeah, here we go. Sorry.
It's good. It's fun.
So I've centralized all the content I publish across everything, right, in one spot. And that doesn't only mean that it's only being published on social media, but I mean literally across every website that I run, all of it goes through a single WordPress installation. So WP GraphQL helped me be able to realize that. So I have some fields that allow me to specify which site content should be published on first, and then like all of my different sites. So I've got casualweirdness.com, life, casualweirdness.life, and then alexjennifer.com. They have a lot of content that's posted across them both. It's because they're both reading from the same single source in WordPress. And the apps in the front end has logic built in that determines what content they should show, what content they shouldn't show. They all have access to all the content. They just only show certain parts of it, right? So the idea was that if I wanted to publish something on casualweirdness.life, well, I always want to be able to also show that on alexjennifer.com. Like if I write something on the internet, it should be on my site, period. So that plugin was kind of the piece that allowed me to build those front-end apps to be able to do that easily. And then I guess the third thing, it's not technically a plugin, but it's a boilerplate for using Next.js inside of WordPress. Or I'm sorry, not inside of WordPress, but it's a boilerplate to be able to build a website using a platform called Next.js, which allows you to be able to like create a really cool responsive front-end site. And it's built specifically to work with and use WordPress. 10up built it, and it's just amazing.
Awesome.
They have this thing set up to where it actually like processes every individual block instead of just dumping the content in the site on your page. It'll like take every block and give you the data for every block, so you could actually create like the individual pieces for it however you want. Which whenever I say that out loud, it always makes me laugh because we're using React to save the stuff in the block editor, right? And then I'm turning around, taking all that stuff, and then I'm using React to render it. And I'm like, I wish I could just use that component here instead. But anyway, those are the three that I would
Yeah,
recommend for sure.
I love that everybody has different ones, so we all learn from everybody who's ever on the show. At any point in your WordPress journey or your business journey, have you had a mentor, somebody who either was officially a mentor or not? Maybe it was somebody who kind of took you under the wing, or somebody just that you admire and emulate in the space. And who was it?
Drew Janes. He's just an awesome dude. He was originally my manager whenever I was working at Sandhills on affiliate WP. And he was just kind of the first he was the first person I worked with who was really close to core, who was in core and was just like, this is his life. This is it. This is where he's at. And he always took me seriously. He always listened to me. And I've had a lot of just discussions with him about WordPress and stuff like that. And I just learned so much just from being around him. And I actually work with him now at GoDaddy. And it's just a joy. I'm always ready and interested in chatting with him about WordPress and
I love
anything
that.
really, but yeah,
Yeah.
definitely Drew.
That's awesome. So, other than Drew, because you can't have the same person for two different questions, who is someone in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
Who do you even pick?
It's one of the toughest questions, I know.
Yeah, gosh, I should have. I saw the question. I was like, I'll be ready for that. I'm not ready for that. Probably Courtney Robertson comes to mind too. She just goes. She's one of those people that if you talk to her, she's like, oh yeah, I know four people who can actually have a relevant conversation with you about this. And like, she's just, I don't know. She's just like this automatic glue that just like exists in the WordPress space. And she just kind of, I is just everywhere. But
Yeah, she knows everybody.
and she's usually, if I need information or I have a question about WordPress at all, she's usually pretty high on my list of people. I'll message her and she'll be like, oh yeah, you need to see this, you need to see this, you need to go to this conference, you need to do this. And so definitely
Yeah,
Courtney.
I can definitely get behind that. So for sure. What's something that you want to learn in WordPress but you haven't tackled yet?
The full site editing experience that's coming, that's here, I guess. I stopped being the last website that I built for a client was at this point, gosh, pre-COVID.
You
It's
mean
been a
BC?
while. BC, that is what I mean, before COVID. That's right. Gosh, it's been a while. So as a result of that though, it's like I it's silly when I say it, but like the block editor was starting to come into full swing and we were really starting to get comfortable with that. And that's right around the same time that I just was like fully in on plugin development and the plugin side of WordPress. And as a result, I don't do as much front end as I used to. Now I still can, obviously. Like I still do it for myself, right? If you look at alexandra.com, stuff like that, like I'm more than capable of doing those things and I
You didn't
like to
hire
do
that
those
out to
things.
somebody else.
No. I couldn't. I just literally, it's just not
I
even,
know, right?
but
I know.
it's too personal. It's too personal. But so right as I'm getting into the backend development and all of this stuff, the block builder came out, and I was learning how to customize it and extend it and things like that. But I haven't done a lot. I haven't just straight up built a site using the block editor. Because I'm not the person
Yeah.
who's going to use the full site toolkit, right? I'll use the block editor for sure. I'll use the actual like site editing and content editing
Yeah, for
stuff.
sure.
But so that it's it because of the full site editor actually, and also because of the nature of how I tend to get hired, I'm usually a small piece of a big project. So I'll have touch points with the editor and I know how to customize and work with it, but I've never just straight up built a whole site from it, right? And honestly, that may never happen, because one of the reasons why I got into the backend development was because I woke up one day and it always starts with that. I wake up, God. Anyway, and I realized that if I have to build one more navigation menu, I'm going to go crazy. And I couldn't take it anymore. I don't know. I remember the site I was working on it. I'm like, this is my last menu. I can't do it anymore.
Oh my gosh, I love that. It's like mega menu, not mega menus. What goes in the drop downs? Like, I know.
It was 100% a mega menu too. And I was like, I'm done. I'm good.
We'll
Give
talk
me
about
an API.
my current site I'm working on when we're done with the show here. Everybody else will just have to wait. And I will share my pain points with you that I'm
Okay,
working on
cool.
right now. What's one of the biggest mistakes that you've ever made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
Okay, so I was once working on a for a client fairly early in my freelancing career. And it was a government contract with somebody, and it just didn't go that great. I got in over my head, and I didn't do enough research up ahead of time, and the project just the scope just was way bigger than I thought it was, and I was just having a lot of trouble keeping up with it. And I was actually starting to get a little worried that litigation was going to get involved, and like it all came out okay, right? None of that happened.
Yeah, but it's
We ended
scary
up
when you're going through
solving,
it.
but it's super scary, especially whenever you like absolutely can't afford that. You know what I mean? So that was definitely the biggest mistake I made there was I didn't approach that project correctly. I tried to go straight from, oh, okay, you've presented me with the information you have. That's enough information to be able to just completely do this whole project. Let's go. And since it was fixed pricing too. So what I should have done was say, okay, so I see what you have. This is a lot. This looks comp like if I were going to do this again, it would now be this looks really complicated. This looks crazy. Let's take this and break it down into the pieces that the problems you have, and then we'll tackle those as individual projects. So I would have broken it into much smaller projects and pieces, so that I wouldn't have locked myself into that price point. I wouldn't have tried to put too much into a single project. It would have allowed me to pivot. It would have given me several breakpoints to be able to pivot and adjust. And ever since then, that's how I've treated projects. It was a learning experience that I had to learn the hard way, unfortunately.
I always say if I didn't charge enough and there was scope creep or I was locked in, then the money I didn't make in that is what I paid for my education in that
Yeah,
process.
for sure,
Right?
for
And
sure.
so, and
Absolutely.
that's what I tell myself to recoup that value. But it is
Right.
true too, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the opposite. What is one of your proudest moments in WordPress?
I probably the day that I got a job offer to work at Sandhills was really a really proud moment for me. I was excited, humbled, pinching myself. Like I just, you know, because the people that were working at Sandhills at that time were just really well established, well-known
Respected.
developers, respected some really great minds in the WordPress space, and I was going to get to work with them and be,
That's
you
awesome.
know, and I so like that was I was just such a I was crazy. I remember because actually Kyle Maurer was working there at the time, and he shared a he just posted somewhere. It was in one of like the local chapters of WordPress or whatever, and he mentioned that they were hiring, so I was like, eh, why not? I'll apply. So I applied and I gave my information, and wouldn't you know, I had interviews and I got an offer. And I was actually, I literally that day when I got that, I had just about 3 months before finally took an office job again for the first time since I started the web development thing. And I had told my wife, I was like, 2 years. I will give this 2 years, but I am not doing this like this forever. And this is, again, BC. I didn't know COVID was coming. I didn't know remote work was going to be normalized. And that company still actually makes people come back to the office now. But anyway, so I was like, I'll do this. This is what I'll do. I don't want to do this. I feel like I'm overqualified for this, and I certainly don't want to be in an office. But I needed the stability, and we were just in a spot where we just had to do it. So I was there for a few months, and I just was like literally the week before I told my manager was like, I'm pretty well like, you know, committed to being here for a while. Let's talk future, talk about where what this looks like. And then I got an email from Pippin that was basically, you know, just said we're gonna hire you. And it was so funny because literally the next time I talked to my manager, I was like, I'm putting my 2 weeks in. And then,
Like, wait, we were talking
he was
about
just like, he was
the
like, what? Wait, what? I was like, sorry, I didn't mean to, but I literally just got what I would
but my
consider
dream job just
a
fell out of my
dream
lap.
job just fell on my lap. Yeah. So
That's
yeah,
awesome.
that's
I not to insert myself into your
No,
story too much,
please do.
but starting work at GiveWP back in 2018 was my moment like that. That was like, yeah, super proud, super excited. Kind of helped me find my place in the community faster than I was already working. And so, yeah, absolutely, totally understand the
Yeah.
excitement of that for sure.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
So let's kind of flip the whole story for a second and say, if you weren't working in tech, not even just WordPress, right? But if you weren't working in tech at all, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
I mean, mechanical engineering is an obvious fallback, but I don't know. That's probably still considered tech. So it's not
I
tech
mean,
in the computer sense,
yeah.
but I don't even know if that's true because it's the safest choice for me, right? Like if push comes to shove, I could probably go back and do that. But even just saying that makes my stomach turn. So that
So
probably
that's
would,
not the answer.
so that's probably not going to be the choice. I would probably I'd probably just dive into content. I'd probably publish stuff about travel, our travels, and I'd probably be one of your RV bloggers, right?
Oh yeah.
We share our stuff on our site and our about our travels and stuff like that. But it's kind of just I treat my stuff like it's for me, right? I'm writing this stuff for me. I'm inviting you in to see it, but really this is so that I have access to it in the future.
Right.
If I was not a developer, if I wasn't in tech, I would probably be in content in some way, and I'd probably really go deep down that route.
I love that. I've had people answer this everything from they'd want to just be an Uber driver and talk to people all day, which is pretty cool, to be a rock star, to be anything, a chef and everything else. So I think you're actually the first person who said content, and I actually like that. That's pretty cool. I love
Yeah.
writing myself, so I completely understand that for sure.
That being said, being a bassist in a band would be pretty awesome too.
I mean, like,
I'd
I
be a
got
fan of that.
guitars behind me, so I get
Yeah,
that.
right.
I don't play them. It's just so that I can look like I
Just
belong in WordPress.
That's awesome.
Every developer has like guitars on their wall behind them. I don't get
That
it.
is it,
A lot of them do
that's
anyway.
awesome.
Anyway, what's something on your bucket list?
Well, it's to see something, but I'm not 100% sure what it is. I guess if I'm being completely honest, it would be to be on the moon. I
Oh,
want to
that's
go to the
cool.
moon someday, but I don't know if that'll happen or not, obviously, but like, I mean, but an absolute like must have bucket list is probably to tour some other country in a way that's consistent with how we've traveled in the United States and the North America in
Gotcha.
general.
Yeah.
I'd love to spend, a year or two in, I don't know, Europe is always a relatively
Yeah.
obvious choice. Australia would be cool. And who knows where else? I mean,
Yeah.
but just, I don't know, I guess travel, more
Is
travel.
RVing a thing in Europe, or is that mostly an American thing? I don't even know.
They do some interesting there's definitely nomadic lifestyles there. They do a lot more but they tend it seems like I don't know this, but from what I've seen, it seems like they don't use the camper with the truck. They
Yeah.
tend to be van dwellers, so they have either a
Gotcha.
van or like a sorry, there's a fly or like a boat. Like they'll have like these big
Okay.
giant boats that kind of just go through the canals in London,
Oh,
and
I've
like
seen those. Yeah.
yeah, that
Those are
seems
pretty
kind of
cool.
neat.
It does.
But it tends to look a little bit lighter than in terms of like, I mean, the giant
Yeah.
campers that you have here. Now, but Australia definitely does it. There's a lot of the RV life stuff that happens in Australia because they've got a lot of open land, kind of like what we have, right, out
Yeah, for
west.
sure.
So,
Just gotta
but
tighten down the tighten all your windows, no creepy crawlies in the middle of the
that's
night, no
right.
snakes, none of that. Australia
I
scares the
wouldn't.
bejeebies out of me.
Yeah, you know what? No, I'm blowing the raspberry on that. Not because it's not creepy, but because
Okay,
those bugs are so big they can't fit through the door anyway. It's fine.
there you go. Tell that to the people who are living there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, so the last big question before we get to like the how do we find you and all that is, show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents that the WordPress community might not know about.
Well, I actually do play the bass.
I thought that might be something you'd say, yeah.
I Crazy story. So I am here in Vermont, right? We've been parked here all summer, and I haven't played the bass for 2 years because we've been traveling, and the idea of bringing a bass with me in the travels was just daunting, to say the least. And I'm outside, and there's this is a seasonal campground, so a lot, so most of the, as many campsites as they can legally have here are seasonal. They've been here for years. It's really like a weird cul-de-sac almost, right? So this guy, he walks over, he sees my camper, he stops, he walks over to me, and he goes, "Hey, my name's Steve. Do you play the bass?" Literally, that was the conversation. There was
How
no there
weird.
I know I was yeah. So I thought I just had a face or something, but it turns out he was literally just asking everybody if they played instruments. He was just like he was it was like early in the season, and he was like on a mission to find a band, right? So but he just walked right up to me and goes, "Hey, I'm Steve. Do you play the bass?" And I was like, I was so stunned. I was like, I haven't in a while, but I he's like, "Yeah, you play the bass." And I was like, "I don't have a bass. I don't have any stuff." He's like, "I got all the equipment. Come on, let's go." So we
Oh, fun.
that weekend I was jamming with this
With Steve.
with Steve and this other guy named Lyndon, and I was on bass, and we were just out in front of his campground camper with he's just got this full-blown setup, and we just hooked
How
up, and
wild.
I just played a few. I bought a bass, and I have been like just it's
Getting
just
back
completely
into it.
reinvigorated my interest in it. Yeah,
I
so
love it. Oh, that's
that
such
was
a cool
fun.
story.
Yeah.
Very cool story. My cat is jumping up on the cut on the desk again. If you hear her
That's
meow.
what. Oh, it's okay. It's what they do.
I know, right? So how do we find you online on social? I mean, obviously I'll put all of this in the show notes. So if you are listening to the show and you didn't find it online, you can just go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find Alex's episode, and all of this will be in the show notes. But how do we find you online?
So the first place to look is alexstandiford.com. I have updated, I'll always have updated links to all of my different social platforms on there. You can also subscribe to my site using RSS and all that jazz. I post everything through my site first, so it's always going to be the most reliable location if you're trying to get the goods. Anyway, but if you're wanting to like talk with me and converse with me and connect to me on like a more traditional social platform, I'm on Mastodon mostly. So it's alexstandiford@fostodon.org. And then I occasionally check LinkedIn. I only use Twitter for conferences. So when it's like W's WorkCamp US or some other event that I'm like a part of, I'll flip the light back on and I'll use it for a few weeks, but then I turn it back off. So it's not the best spot to find to follow me. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, obviously,
Start
pretty
at
much
your
every
website. All roads lead back to your website.
all roads lead back to my website, as it should.
For sure. I
And you
love
can
that.
find me
Well,
on,
go ahead.
you can find me on like most of the Slack communities too. The WordPress, Make WordPress,
Post
obviously
status.
PostStatus, yeah.
Yep.
And
And now I have your phone number. Ha ha ha
yes.
I love it. It's just the secret plot. The whole like tell me your information. Secret plot, so I have everybody's phone number in
You just yeah you're
WordPress
just you're just you're just gonna send like a giant group message to everybody one day.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start if you don't forward this to 10 people, some horrible thing will happen to you.
your website will be going down in 5 minutes though. Honestly, it's because of things like where you booked for today, but I've been on vacation all week. And so when I woke up and 2 minutes later had the notification that I was supposed to be online in 2 minutes, I was able to text you and not rely on, at back channels and be like, I'll be there in 30. I'm sorry.
I saw the message. I literally just sat down and was like, "Whew, that was close." And I'm sitting here and I get the message and I'm like, "I got 30 minutes. Yes."
Yeah, I know the people know that I am a real live human being with feet of clay. I do make mistakes, and this was one of them. So I'm glad it worked out. So, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we sign off for this episode?
Sorry if my kid was
It's
scratching up.
fine. I love it.
I guess just check out, I guess just check out the Fields API is really kind of the
Yeah.
only thing I can think of. Like, it's just,
That's all good. It's all good.
I should have been ready for that question. It's like, I don't
I
know.
didn't
What
put
do
it
you
in the
want
list.
to
I
do?
know.
I know. It's not on the list. No, I guess if there's anything else, the big thing that I would, the big thing that I, like I said, is on my mind right now
Yeah.
is that API. And I would
Yeah.
encourage anybody who is in WordPress and has any kind of vested interest in improving its usability over the years or in the future, please take a look at it. Take a look at what's going on. Try to get some more traction with it, because I think that it's been kind of a long road for it. There was an initial version of it several years ago that came out right before the block editor and Gutenberg came out, and it kind of got pushed aside a little bit for the block editor, in terms of like the visibility and the conversation. And I'd like to see more people talking about this, because I
Nice.
think that it's so fundamental to WordPress. WordPress's future, that I think that it's, I guess I can't overstate how important it is, you know?
I love that. That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time today, especially with the shift in time a little bit and your flexibility and your willingness to kind of, meet me from wherever you're planted right now. So I appreciate you very
Yeah.
much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be
Yeah.
here.
Thank you. We'll see everybody else on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk.